It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN and WFAN FM, New York.
Wow, good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, June 12th. How are we doing this morning? Hope you're on your way to your tee time, thinking positive thoughts about your game today. Visualize and then execute. No excuses. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's Better Under the Umbrella. And by Johnny O Apparel. East Coast traditional meets West Coast casual. The best of both worlds. Apparel for men and boys. Visit www.johnny-o.com. to learn more. Woof! Just back from the BMW Charity Pro-Am, the Corn Ferry Tournament, played in Greenville, South Carolina. What a great time playing with the pros as a celebrity amateur. And, you know, you play during the day and then you have to just go to all these fun activities at night. It's tough. Saw the Marshall Tucker concert. Went to this party at this place called The Threes. It's this par three course, and they had a band there and all kinds of food stands. And then the BMW Performance Center, where you just get in the car and test your driving skills on the tracks. It's pretty cool. And I have to say, I'm pretty happy with how I played. I putt a lot better this year than last year because I've been working on my tempo, and it really paid off. It really does help if you practice, right? But it's still very nerve-wracking as an amateur playing on this stage with the big boys. But what a great opportunity, especially for me as a golf reporter and talk show host, to be inside the ropes playing with these talented players. They hit the ball a mile. They're so accurate with their irons. And they make putts. Sounds easy, right? That's what you have to do. Well, I had a couple birdies, so I drained a few long putts myself. And I had a couple pars for net birdie. So we finished in the middle of the pack. My pro was Tom Lewis from England. He's won four times professionally. Unfortunately, he did not make the cut. Aaron Baddeley, remember that name, Aaron Baddeley from Australia? He's won four PGA Tour titles. He was in my foursome. And his amateur was Jose Alvarez, who pitched for the Atlanta Braves. Really good player, Jose. So Aaron Baddeley did make the cut. I have to look it up and see how he did yesterday. But to watch him get out of trouble and save par and make birdies was very, very compelling. And, you know, when I first saw that Aaron Baddeley, who I remember talking about and reporting on when he was on the PGA Tour, when I saw that he was playing on the Corn Ferry, I thought, well, gosh, you know, he kind of dropped down on the Corn Ferry, even though the Corn Ferry players are just so good. I kind of thought, geez, that's not good. But then Bob Galb mentioned to me that his career earnings topped $21 million. So I'm not feeling bad for Aaron Baddeley. You know, and it just goes to show that the talent on the Corn Ferry Tour is so strong. And these guys can compete on the PGA Tour and win. You know, five, as I mentioned last week, five players who rose to the ranks of the PGA Tour from the Corn Ferry Tour have become number one in the world, including the current number one, Scottie Scheffler. Anyway, David Wells was playing. It's always fun to catch up with David Wells. He's a good player. Ken Griffey Jr., very good player. Larry the Cable Guy, my buddy Lauren Thompson, Hall of Fame golfer Amy Alcott was there. They were all in the celebrity field. And Ozzie Smith, a baseball Hall of Famer, the Wizard of Oz, he also played. And Ozzie will join us this morning at around 7:40 to provide his perspective on this whole Saudi-funded LIV golf news and its threat to the PGA Tour. And whether or not Ozzie, as a baseball Hall of Famer, believes that golfers, like baseball players, should have the right to become free agents and play for any team or league that wants them. So we'll catch up with Ozzie Smith later in the show. And Christine Brennan, USA Today national columnist, CNN and ABC News commentator. She'll join us in a few minutes as we will discuss the crazy and disturbing news of the week in the golf world. And we'll get Christine Brennan's take on it. And, you know, I'm trying to practice and play and focus on golfing. There was more news this past week every day when I looked at my phone. It was crazy. You know, from Phil Mickelson's press conference in London last week, in which he admitted he had been undergoing therapy for years for his gambling addiction. That was one of the points he made. He also said he does not believe in what Saudi Arabia is doing in regards to their human rights violations. But then, you know, he kind of dismissed that and said he loves the progressive format of LIV Golf and thinks it will be exciting for fans. I mean, he had a lot of stuff to say in that short statement he put out on Twitter. So from his comments to the statement from the USGA that they are going to allow the LIV Golf players who are exempt to play in this week's U.S. Open, and that's this coming week, by the way, despite their ties to the Saudi-funded LIV Golf, that came out earlier in the week. And then we heard the PGA Tour statement, which says they are suspending the 17 players who committed to LIV Golf and any future players who defect to LIV Golf. And then LIV Golf saying that the PGA Tour's decision was vindictive, deepening the divide between the tour and its members, they said. And then we have Alan Shipnuck, the author of Phil Mickelson's unauthorized biography. I had Alan on the show a couple weeks ago. We have him being removed from the Phil Mickelson's press conference at Phil's LIV Golf press conference. So, and then Greg Norman saying to Shipnuck, oh, thanks for letting me know. And then Shipnuck seeing CNN footage of Greg Norman lurking in the background as he watched security remove him. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's unbelievable, all this stuff going on. It makes for interesting fodder for us as talk show hosts. But truly, the sport of golf is taking a beating. And instead of talking about, you know, the men and women playing great golf, we're talking about a bunch of guys willing to give up their legacies and reputations as champion golfers for money, which is really what it comes down to. So there are a lot of issues, and I was on Richard Neer's show yesterday and talked about some of them, but you have greed versus morality. You know, the concept of doing the right thing for the right reasons. And, you know, the fact that Saudi Arabia is sports washing. The government of Saudi Arabia is trying to improve their tarnished image using these golfers and these tournaments to take the focus off the human rights violations and atrocities that take place in that country. All right, so you have that issue going on. And then you have the free agency issue versus feeling owned by the PGA Tour. And professional golfers don't like the idea that the PGA Tour controls where they play. And they want to have the opportunity to make money where they want. Of course, in other leagues like the NBA and Major League Baseball, players after a certain amount of time have free agency rights. And then there's the power struggle between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf, or any other tour that threatens the PGA Tour. And to me, a big issue is a player's legacy and place in history. That's also a big deal. And that aspect in all of this would be most important to me. And I mean, you work so hard to establish your reputation, your place in history, your legacy, and then you throw it all away, as I believe Phil Mickelson is doing by taking the money. You know, greed seems to be ruling his life right now. He acts like he can't get enough money, whether it's gambling on anything possible or grabbing boatloads of cash from the Saudi government. All right, well, having said this, many players that I talked to on the Korn Ferry Tour this last week, most of them said the money's too good to pass up. And they don't think about where the money is coming from and the deeper issues here. It's life-altering money. Money to take care of your family for generations. In some cases. So yes, there are all sorts of ways players can justify that this is okay because they are taking care of their families, they're playing less tournaments, they're spending more time with their families, et cetera, et cetera. And then Phil takes the justification a step further, thinking that changes are being made in favor of the top players because of him. That even if his reputation is at stake, hey, he's doing it for the good of the game. Gosh, give me a break. And then I ask you this question. Is the PGA Tour under siege, as Mark Rolfing said on the Golf Channel? I think that may be a bit dramatic. I mean, there's so much talent out there, as I was again reminded this week at the Korn Ferry Tournament. For any one player who defects from the PGA Tour, it opens up a spot for somebody else who may be equally talented and just needs the opportunity. So, yeah, this may reshape the PGA Tour a bit, you know, as the Saudi-funded league buys more stars. But there are stars out there waiting to make their name on the PGA Tour. Life will go on. Legacies and reputations will, you know, may go down the drain as top players grab the money. And I know personally, I have a lot more respect for athletes who do the right thing. Well, yeah, Phil Mickelson, he will talk to the media tomorrow at the U.S. Open. So I am heading up there today. Bryson DeChambeau will apparently be playing in the LIV Golf event in Portland in a few weeks in Oregon. Patrick Reed is also a LIV Golf recruit. Charles Schwartzel won the very first LIV Golf tournament yesterday. Takes home $4 million for his efforts. Another South African, Henny Duplessis, finished second. He cashes in with $2.125 million. Brandon Grace, Peter Uihlein, tied for third. They earned $1.5 million. Dustin Johnson finished eighth. He makes $625,000. Taylor Gooch finished ninth. Takes home $580,000. Phil Mickelson tied for 33rd. With four others, including Chase Koepka, Brooks Koepka's brother, they all take home $150,000 for finishing in 33rd place. And of course, Phil, he got $200 million just for showing up. And Andy Ogletree in last place wins $120,000. Not a bad payday for 3 days' work. And coming in last. Well, GolfChannel.com reported that Terry Strada, the national chairperson of 9/11 Families United, sent a letter to representatives of LIV Golf Stars calling on them to reconsider their participation in the series. She lost her husband in one of the World Trade Towers. Never forget. Lots to talk about. Let's see. The U.S. Open, as I mentioned, Tiger has decided not to play. He's going to save his ailing body for the Open Championship at St. Andrews in July. Phil will be there. Six-time runner-up Phil Mickelson. As the USGA has said that players who have earned their way into the 2022 U.S. Open via their published field criteria will not be excluded from competing. Curtis Cup is going on, and the U.S. is up 8.5 to 3.5 after day two. So the U.S. team needs only 1.5 points to retain the cup and win it for the third time. The LPGA, the ShopRite LPGA Classic, Frida Kinholt of Sweden at 9-under has a one-shot lead over American Lauren Coughlin. And at the RBC Canadian Open, Tony Finau and Rory McIlroy, they're tied for the lead at 11-under, two shots ahead of Justin Thomas, Sam Burns, Wyndham Clark, and Alex Smalley. Finau, he shot an 8-under yesterday, draining a 37-foot eagle putt, and Rory carted a 5-under 65. All right, we are going to come up. We are going to talk to versatile Christine Brennan of USA Today, national columnist, CNN, and ABC News commentator. But first, let me tell you that the Travelers Championship, June 22nd through 26th, once again, right in Cromwell, Connecticut, some of golf's biggest names, world number one ranked Scottie Scheffler, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, and last year's champion, Harris English. We'll combine great golf with generous giving to empower communities across the region. The Travelers Championship, June 22nd through the 26th. Legends made, communities strengthened. Learn more at travelerschampionship.com. And imagine if the coastal beauty of Torrey Pines mirrored the classic layout of Wingfoot. Our friends of Donio have pretty much done that with apparel. The brand is East Coast classic meets Southern California cool. We love their performance polos for on and off the course. While supplies last, spend $100 on johnny-o.com and get a free johnny-o dop kit, a $68 value and perfect travel companion. Use code WFAN100 on johnny-o.com while supplies last.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf. Good to talk with you this morning. And a lot of disturbing golf speculation became a reality this past week with the first Saudi-funded LIV golf event in the books. Phil Mickelson is the biggest star that has joined the LIV golf forces after they paid him a reported $200 million. And joining us now to try to make sense of it all is Christine Brennan, USA Today national columnist, CNN and ABC News commentator. Good morning, Christine. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Ann, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for getting up early this morning. And, you know, none of the news that came out this week really surprised me. Phil grabbing the money did not surprise me. He's showing his true colors. Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter, not surprising. Patrick Reed, not surprising. I'm disappointed in Bryson DeChambeau. He's such a nice guy, but he overthinks a lot and figured he would come to his senses, but he didn't. He's supposed to join LIV Golf when they have their Portland event next month. But what do you make of all of it?
It's really a money grab, obviously. You just described the $200 million, extraordinary amount of money that and the dollar figures we're seeing being thrown around, Ann. And, you know, I know there's people out there who love golf and say, well, there was a golf tournament in February in Saudi Arabia, and the women, the European Tour, has played there. I look at it that, yes, those are one-offs, and I would not, if I were a golfer, ever play and take any Saudi Arabian money. Obviously, they were the masterminds behind 9/11. They killed MBS, the Mohammed bin Salman, killed Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington Post columnist, back in 2018, killed and dismembered him, among many other atrocities. And so, to me, it's blood money. But in the case, one tournament would be one thing. Still not good, as I just said, but Phil and all these guys, and to me, are in business now with murderers. They have made the choice to leave their workplace, to leave what they had. It's not like they didn't have something. They had the PGA Tour, and go off and help burnish the image of MBS, help MBS sportswash, a term that people are probably hearing now for one of the first times, sportswash his image. They're in business with MBS. They're helping the MBS brand, and it's reprehensible. And that's what have I written, 5 or 6 columns? I'll write more this week in Boston, where you and I will be together at covering that and the U.S. Open, and we should be screaming it from the rooftops. It's just, to me, it's just terrible.
It's terrible. But as you mentioned, the PGA Tour stood their ground. They did not budge from what Jay Monahan stated at the Players Championship back in March in his address to the media, that they would suspend anybody who plays in the LIV Golf from participating in the PGA. But as you mentioned, you know, they do grant releases to players for the tournament in Saudi Arabia. That's part of the European Tour. And so that's kind of sending mixed messages, don't you think?
Well, it certainly that, which is why I mentioned it right off the top, right? Because yes, it's like, but you know, it's a whataboutism, I guess, right? Or even people say, well, I buy gas, you know. Well, yeah, it would, believe me, if I didn't have to buy gas from Saudi Arabia, I don't even know where the gas that I'm buying is coming from. I wouldn't do it. I mean, you know, for those who say, oh, you take the money, if they offered me $5 million, $10 million, I don't, whatever, you name the price, I would not take it. There are things called morals. There are things called judgment, ethics. And yes, the U.S. does bad things. Yes, every country does bad things. I don't remember us killing and dismembering as a state, anyone over, you know, X number of years. Obviously, that's a ridiculous thing to even say, because of course we haven't. And of course the Saudis have. And that's what these guys have gone in on. So, you know, the Saudis and MBS and need Phil Mickelson maybe even more than they than he needs them. Although we know about his alleged gambling debts, et cetera. But certainly Bryson and all these other guys, fine living. You know, they're leaving now the shackles of their multi-million dollar life and existence at the PGA Tour. It's laughable. But they're helping MBS a lot. So I see it as an entirely different situation than playing in one tournament. Right. People brought up, you know, China. Well, you know, I was in China covering the Olympics, and I was critical of China every day on CNN, on ABC, and in my columns while I was in China. But if you were an Olympian, the Olympics were in China. That's not your fault. Phil has made this. This was an active act by Phil and the other guys to go and do something as opposed to having the event happen to be in a place.
Right. I mean, there's so many issues here to talk about, but first and foremost, as you mentioned, it's really greed versus morality. To me, in its simplest form, Christine, it comes down to good against evil. It's about doing the right thing. It's not accepting money from a country who is obviously sports washing. And I know that concept, you know, good against evil and doing the right thing, unfortunately seems to be disappearing in our complex times, but these guys are intelligent, you know, decent folks, right? They should do the right thing. Graham McDowell should do the right thing.
No, they know better.
They know better.
Absolutely. They know better. And, you know, it came out a couple of days ago, Anne, as I'm sure you're aware, that there are talking points, right, that I saw on Twitter that are being passed around, that everyone is getting the talking points. And sure enough, you know, Graham McDowell and some of the others, oh, it's for the good of the game.
Yeah, right.
Oh, give me a break. It's for the good of, you know, Phil and Graham's bank account. The good of the game. So what's fun about this, well, I shouldn't say fun, what's interesting and good about this is it's being exposed, right? And there's
right.
so much conversation about it. And I think that's a really, really good thing. I promise to stay on top of it. I know you will. It's going to come to a head this week because, of course, the USGA is allowing all these guys who qualified to come to Boston and compete. I understand that. The process had already played out. But what a statement it would have been if the USGA, national governing body for the good of the game, had said, no, you've just made a decision, so we're making a decision. They didn't have the guts to do that. I get it, but golf has never really taken a societal stand. You know, when you look at the way black men were treated for decades and women, the way you were been treated on the golf course as a golf-playing woman. I play, but nowhere near as well as you do. And so kind of the chickens have come home to roost now. Where's Augusta National on this? Will Augusta National stand up and say, no, you're not a part of this? Or will they look at their, past champions and say, oh, no, it's okay? Because if all the majors allow these guys to keep playing, then they're having their cake and eating it too. And that is really troublesome, I think, for the structure of men's golf moving forward.
And Phil even said in a statement that he expects to play all the majors. And you have to wonder if he talked to representatives from these organizations in advance to see if he indeed would be allowed to play in these majors. The U.S. Open obviously allowing these players, they put out a statement regarding players who may choose to play in London this week. We simply asked ourselves this question. Should a player who had earned his way into the 2022 U.S. Open via our published field criteria be pulled out of the field as a result of his decision to play in another event? And we ultimately decided they should not. So that was their reasoning. And as you pointed out, it will be interesting to see what Augusta National does next April and the RNA. In July, I have a feeling that they're going to let these guys play.
I do, and let's just call it what it is. They're wimping out. I mean, I understand the rationale, but there's no spine. There's no courage there. This is a crisis in golf. You know, this is a very, very big deal, the structure of the game. Now, the good news is this Live Golf thing in London was a joke. It's an exhibition. So hopefully that will become crystal clear to everybody soon. But yes, these are the majors. These are the pillars of golf. And right now, they're just caving to Phil Mickelson and all of these guys who are taking the blood money of the Saudis. So maybe they'll come around. But I agree with you. The RNA, that they're on the clock, and it's almost too soon for them. I mean, they should make the decision to kick them out, but they probably won't. But then you've got a long wait, as you said, till April in the Masters, and then, of course, the PGA again. So we'll see where that goes, but it'll be fascinating to watch, and I hope they do develop a spine and kick these guys out because, again, this is a very active decision they're making, and it is not, oh, I'm just going to play one tournament. This is a lifestyle change. It's a business change to go into business with murderers.
I heard Mark Wolfing on the Golf Channel this past week say that he thinks the PGA Tour is under siege. Do you agree, Christine?
I do. I do. This is significant, and it's all because of the money. So people have said, well, what about the actual golf? No, it's not about the golf. It's a joke. The golf is a joke. There's some great critiques. I only watched a moment or two just as a curiosity. But just reading about it looks ridiculous. And of course, the way the media was treated and journalists getting kicked out, it's just a terrible way to handle it.
You can't make this stuff up, right?
Right. It's just ridiculous. The whole thing. And Greg Norman, his leadership is an oxymoron right there, Greg Norman and leadership. But yes, I do think it's a big deal only because of the massive amounts of money that they're paying, because that then is something that no one can equal. And if these guys are really willing to just give it all up, because pretty soon they're going to lose points, right, that would allow them to be in future majors. So that's where the major thing's going to happen. When they're not playing on the PGA Tour, they're not getting the points, and therefore then they'll fall out of the top whatever that would get them into a major, maybe not so much this year or next year, but in 2024.
If there's any upside to this regarding the PGA Tour, there is so much talent out there. This past week, I played on this Korn Ferry event, the BMW Charity Pro-Am, and oh my gosh, you're reminded just how good and deep the talent is, right? And so it would give other players a chance to play and make good money on the PGA Tour. I mean, for every star that the Saudi-funded LIV Golf League steals, you have more opportunities for these younger guys who are so talented to perhaps, move up to the PGA Tour and play.
And looking at it just through the sports lens for one second, as opposed to the geopolitical lens, the competition, the greatness is on the PGA Tour. So if you want to watch just great golf being played, golf competition, that's the PGA Tour, that's the LPGA Tour. That's not LIV Golf. LIV Golf is guys kicking back because there's no incentive. There's no cut. So the guys who are playing in Canada this week and whatever, there's a cut. And that, of course, means they're going to be trying hard to make the cut, no matter how much money. The upfront money that they're getting from the Saudis for LIV Golf really negates any of the challenge of what we believe in and love about sports.
You mentioned Greg Norman a second ago, and he continues to show his true colors. Shallow, greedy. I mean, his comments, when was it, a couple months ago when he fielded questions about, the Washington Post columnist who was murdered and all the human rights violations going on in Saudi Arabia, he said in quotes, look, we've all made mistakes, and you just want to learn from those mistakes and how you can correct them going forward. I mean, I almost fell out of my chair.
Me too. And Anne, Phil Mickelson, Bryson, Ricky Fowler, all these guys, hear Greg Norman say that. We all make mistakes. In other words, the murder and dismemberment of a human being, and that's, just a mistake. And then you still make the decision to join forces with that guy? What does that say about what's inside Phil Mickelson, Jeez Chambeau, Dustin Johnson, just their inner core? They've got plenty of money, even if with all his gambling debt, Phil still has plenty. I mean, they've made zillions of dollars. And they have to go and join forces with not only MBS, the murderer, but also with Greg Norman, who says we all make mistakes. Where's your self-worth? Where's your belief in your good name and your reputation? They'll be remembered for this forever. This will be part of their bio, part of everything that's written and said about them forevermore, and including that comment that Greg Norman said, that we all make mistakes. It's reprehensible, and if these guys join this, it's stunning. I'm not usually surprised anymore in my career, Anne, but this one, I think, certainly surprised me that some of these guys were really willing to go and do this.
Quick story to share. Years ago, I was doing a TV show at a course in Ireland that Greg Norman designed, and they sent me over there to interview Greg Norman and with the TV crew, and he didn't want to do the interview because he wanted to be paid separately to do the interview. He had already been paid handsomely to design the golf course as the course architect, but he and the owner went into a separate room, and for 10 minutes they were yelling at each other until the owner got him to do the interview.
Right.
And my goodness, that kind of showed his true colors back then as well. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's who all these guys now are in business with. That's their moral compass, right? As opposed to hanging out in the United States and Canada, in this case this week, with people who, again, we're not talking, not everyone is, you know, Mother Teresa here, but we're talking about quality people, educated, playing by the rules. That's golf, right? You know, call penalties on yourself. And these guys are flaunting everything that golf stands for, and right now they're getting away with it.
Are you formulating your questions in your head for Phil Mickelson tomorrow,
Christine? Oh, I have. I really have, and certainly very serious side of this, of course, the 9/11 families who have sure. Who have scathing letter to them, to Phil and others, and then the fiance of Jamal Khashoggi talking to my colleague Josh Peter in USA Today about how awful this is, and you know maybe there's a question there about what would you say if you know to all of those 9/11 families, Phil, as you wave the red, white, and blue all the time as an American, what would you say for what you've done going into business with the people who murder their family members? That's at least so along those lines. That would, I hope someone asks that question. I'm sure there will be many variations of that asked in some form or other tomorrow. I'll be there. I know you'll be there as well.
Christine, thanks so much. You're fearless and so talented, and I've respected your work through the years and a good friend for many, many years. Thanks so much for joining us here on Talking Golf.
Right back at you, Ann. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Christine Brennan. All right, coming up, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith. Ozzie, he's a passionate golfer. We both played in the BMW Charity Pro-Am, and the Wizard of Oz may have some of his own opinions on all of this LIV golf controversy and on free agency as it relates to the PGA Tour probe. All right, that's coming up. But first, let me tell you that Travelers never loses sight of its promise to take care of customers and communities. That's why the company supports the Travelers Championship, Connecticut's world-class PGA Tour event that gives 100% of net proceeds to charity. Since 2007, the tournament has generated over $22 million for nonprofits across the region, thanks to the support of some of the PGA Tour's best players, thousands of volunteers, and all the loyal fans. For tickets and to learn more, visit TravelersChampionship.com. Be sure to catch all the action June 22nd to the 26th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning. Hope you're having a great morning so far. And just back from the BMW Charity Pro-Am, and Ozzie Smith, he also played 15-time All-Star World Series champion for the Cardinals back in 1982, 13-time Gold Glove Award winner. And Ozzie Smith joins us now. Good morning, Ozzie. Thanks for being on Talking Golf. Ozzie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you this
Good.
Morning?
Good. How are you? You're back in St. Louis, yeah. I take it.
Yeah, I made it back. Didn't make the cut, so here I am.
Well, the cut is very hard to make for the celebrities because I think they just take two teams from two divisions, right?
They did. They took two teams from two divisions, and I came up a stroke short. So Anyway, it's always a great time to just been there in Greenville. The hospitality and everything is great, and food and people, and of course, anytime you have a chance to go out and hang out on the golf course for 2-3 days, it's wonderful.
How's your guy, the pro that you played, how's he doing?
Zach, I think Zach Fisher is at 16. He's 16 under, so he played well. That makes it a lot of fun, too, being able to watch these guys do what they do, and these guys are so good, and they're trying to make the tour. And you, when you have a chance to spend some time with them and watch what they're able to do, and see that as good as they are, they still have not made the tour yet. It makes you realize how good the guys on tour are.
Exactly, and Aaron Baddeley, as I mentioned earlier in the show, played in my foursome. And he won 4 times on the PGA
right.
Tour, and you know, for whatever reasons, he's now playing on the Corn Ferry, trying to get back to the PGA. And so it's just one or two shots. I mean, these guys, all these players on the Corn Ferry, could play on the PGA Tour, right?
Yeah,
and
they
it's
could.
Just a matter of getting the opportunity and hitting and making shots. And it sometimes it's just the difference between one or two shots.
That's right. It's, you know, it's about making putts. You got to be able to putt. You got to be able to put the ball in the hole. And, you know, we all take different routes to the green sometimes, but it boils down to guys being able to put the ball in the hole. And, you know, I had a chance to play with Kevin Yu last year, who was up and coming. I played with Adam Long. You know, so it's nice to be able to watch the guys when what I consider the minor leagues, and when they finally make it, you know, it's one of those situations where you can say, I knew him when.
Exactly, exactly. And I was talking to Christine Brennan a few minutes ago, and if there's any upside to, you know, the Saudi-funded LIV Golf, you know, taking these stars away, luring them with all this cash, it creates more opportunities for the PGA Tour for some of these Korn Ferry players to move up and play in the big leagues.
Yeah, you know, it's been very interesting. And, you know, you and I talked about this a little bit the other day. And, you know, there's always been question as to whether or not the sustainability of some other league, you know, whether or not they would have the sustainability. It appears that this LIV league has the sustainability because of all the money that's available. And they're making that apparently clear now. And I think what it's going to boil down to, Ann, is whether or not the organization itself has the sustainability and it can become what these guys are used to here on the PGA Tour. And so it's going to be interesting as we go forward, but they certainly have thrown out a lot of money. And I think that for all of us as human beings, when money that's being thrown around now, if you're given the opportunity, I'm not so sure that it's something that you shouldn't take a look at. And I'm sure a lot of guys right now are taking a look at that because it is about the money. And I saw where Tiger Woods turned down, you know, you hear all of these numbers and things, but they say it was an absurd amount of money to turn it down. But that, to me, speaks to his loyalty to the PGA Tour and the history and the legacy of the PGA Tour itself.
Yeah, well, to me, it's about greed. I mean, and all the, you know, everything that's going on in Saudi Arabia and all the human rights violations. And I just couldn't imagine. To me, it's like blood money. I know everybody has their own way of looking at this, and the players are justifying the fact that, you know, they can spend more time with their families. Obviously, it's great money. They don't have to play as many tournaments. But I just, to me, it's about morals and doing the right thing, Ozzy. But I guess players, you know, a lot of the players I talked to this week said, look, the money's too, you don't think about the other stuff because the money is just, if they had the opportunity to do it, they would. Because the money's too great.
Yeah, it's the money, and you know, I don't know if you can fault the guys for that, but we are a society that's driven by the dollar, and I think for some of the guys, they look at it and say, would I be able to? Did the guys that are being guaranteed money, I bet they look at it and say, would I be able to make this type of money on tour? You know, so I see it from both sides. But I do agree with you that at some point in time, you got to look at it from a moral standpoint, and you know, it's very confusing, to say the least.
It really is. Now, Major League Baseball players have enjoyed free agency, which is a whole different issue of this whole LIV Golf.
Right.
They have, you know, and you guys have enjoyed free agency since, I think, the 70s, right?
So yes.
Based on what Major League Baseball players experience, Ozzy, do you have any thoughts about the PGA Tour and their stance of banning players from the PGA Tour who are playing in this Saudi-funded LIV Golf Tour? I mean, free agency is very important for athletes.
Yeah, I mean, here again, and I think that that's the way they're looking at it, as free agency. You know, if another team is willing to offer you X number of dollars to come and be a part of it, I think that's what we're seeing here. And, you know, as a baseball player, you know, free agency really kind of opened the door for a lot of guys. It changed the way we did things. And I think guys can always look back and say, you know, I wish I hadn't have done that or whatever. But here again, it gets back to the money, you know, being able to or have access to a lot more money. And certainly from a free agent standpoint, as far as baseball was concerned, it allow players to move a little bit more freely and, you know, that have the right to be able to go out and earn a living.
Maybe the PGA Tour just has to reexamine some of their policies in terms of letting these players play outside of the PGA Tour. But again, you know, to play for a league funded by this government is really more of a moral decision on everybody's part. And you had mentioned sustainability, Ozzy, and you have to figure that these players who bolted to this league, Phil, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, to name a few, they may not, I mean, do they care about sustainability if they're making that much money up front? You know, how long would this, can this money last? It's from the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, so it could last forever, right? They have so much money, so that must not be an issue.
Yeah, well, that's why I said, you know, it's going to boil down to, you know, how well they're treated and how good the organization is. And the PGA, you know, it has some questions. It has some questions to answer here. You know, how do you allow the guys if it doesn't sustain itself, if the LIV golf doesn't sustain itself, and guys want to come back, you know, do you have your cake and eat it too? I think they have to have some type of guidelines and some type of rules for guys who have bolted to that. The LIV golf and how they're going to get back if, in fact, that doesn't work out. You know, so I think the PGA has to put some type of rules or guidelines and stuff in place, and now is probably the best time to do it so the guys know that they won't be able to have their cake and eat it too. You know, you bolt to the other league, and then if it doesn't work, you want to be able to come back and still be able to compete for championships and stuff. And I personally just think that something should be coordinated and put together now so that they understand that if you come back, it may be 2 or 3 years before you're able to compete for a championship.
Yeah, I think if you're suspended by the PGA Tour, you can't even appeal it for at least a year. So they do have rules in place, but it'll be interesting if they ever allow, you know, these guys to come back.
Right.
At this
point.
You know,
that's why I say they have some decisions to make here in the very near future. You know, the suspension and stuff, and I'm sure that some of the suspensions are going to be appealed right now because a lot of the guys are probably going to cry free agency.
Right, right. Well, a lot of the guys have already resigned from the PGA Tour because they don't want to deal with potential legal hassles as well. And there's some other issues there as to why their agents have encouraged some of these players to resign from the PGA Tour. So that's a whole other topic as well. But do you agree with the USGA's decision, Ozzy, to let these guys who had qualified for the U.S. Open to play this coming week?
Well, I don't know if you can keep the guys. It gets back to this free agent thing. I don't know if you can keep the guys from doing it, especially when the type of dollars, when you're guaranteed $100 million or whatever the number is, you know, you can't tie a guy's hands in because he should have the freedom to be able to move freely. Now, like you say, you have to resign from the PGA, and a lot of the guys have, and as long as they do that and abide by those rules, then, you know, they should be free to go and play where they want to play.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you were offered $200 million, like Phil, to go and play for this league that's funded by this Saudi government, would you go?
I would give it some serious thought, Ann, and I think that it does boil down to, you know, how you feel about it morally. And I think that, you know, here as a country, you know, we have a tendency to pay attention to the big dollars. And if Phil and I think Dustin are guaranteed $100 million, you got to ask yourself, you know, is it worth it? Yeah, is it worth it to me morally to do it? And that's why I said early on, I was glad to see the Tiger turned down, which, you know, the numbers that have been thrown out, we don't know exactly what those numbers are, but they said it was some absurd amount of money. And I think it speaks to, you know, how he feels from a moral standpoint.
Absolutely. And last question, to change the subject just for a second, all your success in baseball, Ozzie Smith, dealing with all kinds of pressure situations, do you still get nervous teeing it up with the Corn Ferry players?
All the time. Oh, I get nervous all the time, you know, because people expect you as an athlete to be able to play well and stuff, and I expect to play well, and you want to do well, so there's always pressure to go out there and perform, and doesn't matter what sport it is. And you know, I love the game. It's really kind of a sickness with me. You know, I see myself sitting down at the dinner table working on my grip, my hands and stuff. It really becomes a part of you, and I love the frustration that it brings.
And certainly it is frustrating and lots of pressure. Ozzie Smith, thank you so much. It's so just wonderful to connect with you all the time, and continued success on and off the course.
Thank you, Ann. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much. Ozzie Smith, the Wizard of Oz. My thanks to Ozzie, to Christine Brennan, to Pete Kennedy in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann LaGorry is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. Enjoy the upcoming U.S. Open from the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. As I mentioned before, Tiger is not playing. Phil is playing, as the USGA announced last week. They're welcoming all players who have qualified to play. Rick Wolf's Sports Edge is up next. And what can I say? Be well, stay positive, be happy. And I'll talk with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann LaGorry.